So this is WGXC. Okay, and it's 90.7 Acre, New York. We're also broadcasting from Chatham and Hudson. Stay tuned for Tell It Like It Is.
All right. Welcome to the very first edition of Tell It Like It Is, everybody. We're so excited to be here today. We're in the Hudson WGXC studio with Christina. I'm Sam. And we also have Richard and Alan. And we're going to be doing a great show today with an interview with Vanessa the Spinstress, who makes hula hoops and teaches hula hooping. We'll also be doing a roundtable sort of recapping of the recent Amy Goodman appearance in Catskill. Stay tuned.
And of course, don't forget, the lovely Ellen Thurston has just come into the studio. And we're graced by the presence of Azuke. All right. Okay, well, that ended pretty abruptly, but that's okay. It's our first show. Yay. Okay, so just double checking. We have Ellen in the studio right now. And Ellen, while you're getting prepared to take a seat, and we're going to play a little bit more music in the background. So, and the music we're going to play is going to be, hey, why not a little Fleetwood Mac?
We're going to be doing, every week we'll be bringing you event segments on our show and what's happening in Columbia and Greene counties.
Okay, and that's enough of that Fleetwood Mac. Okay, so... All right, guys. Richard Roth and Ellen Thurston.
I'm here with Ellen Thurston, who puts out a weekly calendar of events in Hudson and Columbia County. So welcome, Ellen. How long have you been doing this calendar?
Well, I've been doing it since about 2003. And first, I want to apologize. I would have been here sooner, but I was on the other side of the train tracks when the train came through Hudson. Nevertheless, here we are. What can I tell you?
What's happening this week?
Well, I can tell you what's happening this weekend since we're recording on Thursday. But as you probably know, Hudson is fast becoming a real music town. Since Helsinki arrived and the music store Musica, there is a lot of music around. This weekend alone, you have 7 chances to hear live music in Hudson. And last week, there were 9. So that's pretty significant, I think.
I'd say so.
There are also 3 open mics now where anybody can get up and perform. Monday is at Parlor, the coffee shop at the top of Warren Street. Tuesday is at Helsinki. Helsinki's used to be at Thursday, now it's moved to Tuesday. And on Wednesday at the Red Dot. So that's another chance to hear music and to discover tomorrow's stars.
Now, which shows would you recommend for the weekend?
Well, I hate to recommend one over the other, as you know, but let's just take a look here. First of all, you've missed Monday's showcase at Helsinki, which happens every week, and it's free of charge, and it's a great chance to get inside Helsinki if you haven't been there, at Columbia and 4th Street. Let me see what else we've got here. At American Glory, which is a restaurant in the 300 block, they have music both Fridays and Saturdays. Someone named Steve Smith on Friday. Moving along. On Saturday is Maracy Smith at the Spotty Dog. And then some classical music at Helsinki, which is unusual. But do you remember the Columbia Festival Orchestra?
Oh, yes.
Under the direction of Gwen Gould?
Mm-hmm.
It's now called Clavering Landing, named after the city of Hudson's first name.
Right.
And they're bringing in a group called Calliope, a Renaissance band that plays on, they call it a wildly inventive program on amazing ancient instruments. And then at American
Club. And that's going to be at Club Helsinki.
That's at Helsinki, right. So it's unusual because it's classical music in a kind of nightclub setting.
Right.
Lots of fun.
Wow, I want to go to that.
You can. You too can go. Chris D. and Mike M., I don't know who they are, playing at American Glory on Saturday. On Saturday and Sunday, you may know about the Metropolitan Opera productions that are shown in high definition at TSL on Columbia Street. They're doing, it's the Metropolitan Opera production of Don Pasquale. Excuse me. On Sunday, there's an interesting program at the Opera House. Jorge Martin, who's the composer in residence at Close Encounters with Music, is going to illustrate and talk about his first full-length opera called Before Night Falls. A lot of this you have to be willing to take a chance on what's happening. Could be very interesting.
Doesn't that include food, Ellen?
Food?
I thought there might be food included in that.
No, a lot of things include food. I think there's a reception.
There's a reception.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then there's tango night at Helsinki, and you can dance the night away. So.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen. That was fantastic for your first time, and we look forward to hearing from you next week on what's going on in Hudson.
Winter walk's coming, you know.
Fantastic. Lots of fun.
Okay.
Actually, Ellen, can you tell us very quickly about a winter walk a little bit, since you've been putting so much work into it?
It's December 4th. It's produced by the Hudson Opera House, and it's a huge, big outdoor party on Warren Street, the main street in Hudson, from 8th Street down to Front Street. So it's a long walk, but well worth it. Lots going on, and the shop's beautifully decorated. I think you'll have a great time.
And while you're at Winter Walk, you can stop by the WGXE studio, which is just a block away from Warren Street.
Totally cool. Great. So your voice can be on the radio. Thanks again, guys. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Ellen.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And now we go to Sam, who's going to be reporting on Greene County, our sister county. And
yeah,
Sam, tell us what's happening there.
All right. I just have a couple of brief things. A few of them I got off of, by the way, for everyone out there who doesn't already know about it. If you go online to the WGXC.org website, there's an events page, and you can look up many of these events we're telling you about are listed on the events page. Not only can you find out what to do, but if you have an event coming up, you can click on, there's a spot where you can click on to list your own event, and hundreds, maybe thousands of people can be aware of what you have going on. So I'm just going to tell you about a couple of things. Tonight in Catskill at the Community Theater, this is really fun for any Harry Potter fans out there. At midnight, they're going to be showing the new Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows movie. So That's tonight in Catskill at the Community Theater on Main Street. Before that tonight, for those of you more concerned about your finances in Greene County, there will be at 6 o'clock the Greene County 2011 budget public hearing. And that's going to be at the Caro Durham High School at 6 o'clock. That's at 1301 Route 145 in Durham. Very important there to know where your tax dollars are going after these recent elections. Now, this one is, I would have to say, I don't want to be biased, but I will highly recommend this one. This is tomorrow night, Friday. It's not actually in Greene County. It's down in Ulster County, but well worth the trip down to Rosendale is the Peterhead Homemade Instrument Ensemble at Lovebird Studio, which is 430 Main Street in Rosendale. You can't miss it. First up at 8 o'clock is Bill Manley of Nightmares for a Week, and then Peter Head's incredible ensemble of everyone will be playing handmade instruments. Peter says, "We'll be throwing down some heavy beats from some third world streets. Most all the instruments are made from thrown away or found objects and will light the sky above you with eternal brightness."
Whoa. That's a tall order.
Yeah. So that sounds really good. And I just have one more thing, which is also not exactly in Greene County, but this is our first show, so we're winging it here. Up in Albany, Saturday night, this Saturday, the 20th, is a presentation of a movie documentary, The 800 Mile Wall, which is a documentary on the effects of the U.S.-Mexico border wall. Mm. They're showing this film. It's free at the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Albany. It's at 7:30 p.m. Let's see. That's at 405 Washington Avenue. And here's a phone number in case you need more information. It's 518-426-0883, and that's Saturday night.
No, I'm glad you put that plug in, Sam. That's, first of all, it's a great church. And there's been a lot of history there where they've put on many programs for the community, a lot of it free. It's a very embracing, open, church that embraces people of different faiths and also genders and that's great.
Everyone, yeah. Everyone. And also, that was a great part of what Amy Goodman talked about.
The Unitarian Press.
And when she appeared in Catskill, she talked about the Unitarian Press and some of the stories that have happened with that. And we're going to be talking about that later in the show.
Yes. Just a quick plug also for the Sanctuary for Independent Media. If you're going to Albany, why not take the extra 15 minutes and head up to Troy?
Yeah.
The Sanctuary for Independent Media, Troy, New York. You could go to www.mediasanctuary.org to explore more of what they're doing up there. But I think we've been streaming Mountain Man, which I heard last Friday. Fantastic group of women doing a cappella type singing and also that was after a book review. But what's coming up is this Friday, the 19th at 7 p.m. live from Lock One Hip Hop, an evening of local music and dance featuring Skate, Stop Killing All the Entertainment, six people on a mission to spread knowledge through lyrics to revive the hearts that beat for hip-hop. The performances will be recorded and streamed live, so hopefully we'll have those here. We have streamed a lot of other things from the Sanctuary, and we hope to work with them more closely because as another independent media organization, we're, in simpatico. So
that's the beauty of community radio, is being able to link up with all these other people from basically at this point all over the place because WGXC is going to be, because of our presentation of Democracy Now! Every day, once we go on the air, we're going to be linked in to the Pacifica Network, but you know, as well as locally with the Sanctuary, and it's just fantastic, the unlimited possibilities of what you're going to be able to hear with this station. So, let's see, now...
Actually, I just wanted to say one more thing. There's also the underground, I don't know what they're calling it, but there's a, I think it was called the Underground Gallery the last time I was there, which I helped paint the walls and floors for, but there's also a fantastic show which is up through the December 18th, that's the crisis of LGBT youth and homelessness, and it's called Invisible. And I'm also want to see. It's a series of photographs,
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, you can find out more about it. But we now have someone in the studio who I would love to let you find out more about, and her name is Vanessa. And before we put her on air, we're just going to play a little music for Vanessa's introduction.
I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Well, welcome, Vanessa. Thank you for that introduction.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, cool. So, Vanessa, I met you. You were putting up posters sometime late summer for hula hoop classes and a hula hoop marathon down by the river. Can you tell us a little bit about, first of all, how do you got involved with hula hooping and what you're doing?
I got involved in hula hooping about 3 years ago, and I just became obsessed with it. I haven't put it down since. And I was actually putting up posters for World Hoop Day.
Oh, okay.
Which happens once a year on the day that it falls is, you know, like 10-10-10 this year. Next year it's 11-11-11.
Is that, like, related to the Bill McKibben thing, the 10-10-10 thing? Or is just everybody's into 10-10-10?
I guess. It's just a good number.
Matching
good
numbers.
So World Hoop Day is all about spreading peace and fighting childhood obesity. So you try to get as many people around the world as you can to hula hoop.
Fantastic. And how did you get introduced to hula hooping?
A friend of mine from Colorado just brought it over, and I don't know, I just became obsessed with it. I couldn't put it down. And I was living in an apartment in Brooklyn with about 10 other kids, and we had an amazing deck space, which is unheard of in Brooklyn. So we had about 15 hula hoops and always had friends over, and everyone was constantly hula hooping, so it was fun.
Fantastic. Yeah. Do you know, like, what's the history of hula hooping anyway?
I've read online that it dates all the way back to Egyptian times.
Seriously?
That's what I've heard.
Nefertiti?
Woo! They used to take like a bunch of reeds and just bind them together and make hula hoops. But I don't know. That's as far as it goes back that I've heard.
Wow, that's fantastic. And what, did it have like a resurgence in the 50s or 60s, something like that?
The company Wham-O, who came up with the hula hoop and the frisbee and a lot of other circular objects, you know, it was a fad in the 50s. And there's that movie by the Coen brothers, The Hudsucker Proxy, which it's a parody, but it's pretty fun about the inventor of the hula hoop. But so it was a huge fad in the 50s, and they sold, I think, 25 million in the first 4 months.
Wow.
But they made them so well that once everyone had one, they never broke, so they never needed to get another one.
Oh, well, that's just opposite of what capitalism wants.
So if only we had that today.
Yeah, right.
So it kind of, if once everyone had one, they didn't need another one, uh-huh. And it kind of died out slowly after that.
Oh, it's too bad.
But it's having a resurgence since the 90s. Mm-hmm. There's been a huge new revolution, I guess. And it's different now. There's hoop dance, and it's more circus-based performance, and there's a lot of tricks involved, and mm-hmm. dance, and flow. It's a different thing. And now they make adult-size hula hoops, so adults can get back into it.
That's great. Well, I actually own a hula hoop. I am so happy to say that I bought from Vanessa, and it is so beautiful because it has colors that I really love from the 70s. It's like this beautiful orange and yellow and brown, and it's also like an autumn hoop. And
what's it made out of?
Yeah.
I make them out of PVC tubing and tape, just tape it up. Mm. And your hula hoop should be the colors, your favorite colors. It should just inspire you and make you as happy as possible.
Mm-hmm. And how did you start making them? Because I'm also, the other thing that was so impressive about you was not only that you were doing something really wild like this, but that you were entrepreneurial enough to like start making your own hoops.
They're pretty simple to make. I mean, it's easy when you have a lot of the bulk material, as opposed to just you want to make one and you have to go out and get everything. But the friend who taught me how to hula hoop was making them herself with all her friends back home. So she shared the gift with us and all my friends at her apartment, so we just made a ton of them.
So why, I can understand the connection with, having fun and tricks, but what's the connection with peace, the peace connection bit?
I don't know, it can kind of become a meditative thing. It's a lot about time and space and, mm-hmm. Knowing your body within the space and your own inner rhythm, and I don't know, there's something very primal about it that you can just kind of get into, and I don't know. I really get into it.
Oh, I agree with you, because after Vanessa gave me my hula hoop, right, and I was hula hooping in the apartment. I was trying to fit it out the window so I could do it on the roof, but I couldn't fit the hoop through the window. So what I was doing was like hooping the music and just realizing that there's something about that repetitive action.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel like, I personally, well, I like to take everything to science, but I felt like an atom with an electron, going around me.
And yeah.
I like the reaction, and some of the cats ran away, and some of them just watched.
it's really good for the spirit, because it keeps you silly and easy, and it keeps you limber, So there's something about feeling really silly about it in the beginning, and, what am I doing? Do I look like a fool right now? But that's part of it. You have to let go. Once you let go is when you actually get it. It's when you're worrying about it, you can't actually get it.
Now, weren't there some people selling weighted hula hoops because they were supposed to be good for your health in some way?
Well, it's all a cardiovascular workout, but it's the weighted ones, are, I guess, could be a better workout. They have ridges on the inside, and they're covered in foam. They can weigh up to 10 pounds. The ones I make are about 3 pounds. And I think you can hoop a lot longer with the ones I make versus mm-hmm. a weighted one might beat you up a little faster. Mm-hmm. I know a woman who actually went to the hospital complaining of internal pains because she was hula hooping so much with a weighted one. I think if she had a normal one, it would have been a lot better for her.
Right. The childhood obesity issue is a very big one in
it
this
is.
Country. And what response have you gotten from kids? Were you at the Boys and Girls Club recently?
Yeah, I started teaching
Hudson?
A class there.
Okay, tell us about that a little bit, please.
Well, it's hula hooping. Kids love it. Kids get to be it before anyone else. Mm-hmm. And they're just very inventive with it. They don't live it themselves. And since it is the symbol of a circle, it has endless possibilities.
Yes, I want to come back to that symbol of the circle,
okay.
Maybe we could talk about it right now.
But anyway, kids love it. I mean, they all constantly want to have hula hoop contests, and mm-hmm. they just never, ever tire out. And with hula hooping, you burn about 100 calories every 10 minutes, which is kind of incredible.
Yeah, that is.
But I hula hooped with the kids for an hour, and they tired me out. they're relentless.
That's great. Do the boys do it as much as the girls, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us now about the tricks. That's what I'm looking forward to learning.
Tricks? Oh, it takes a lot of practice. I've been doing it for 3 years, so I know a good amount of tricks, but it doesn't ever stop.
Give us an idea of some of the tricks.
You can hoop anywhere on your body. I recently saw a video online of a woman hula hooping on her nose.
Get out.
But you can literally hoop anywhere on your body. Lift it up above your head, start it up, kickstart it from the floor like a skip it. Around your knees, around your arms, and it's just all about your body through the space of through the hoop.
And then I think I heard people, when I started talking about it, people were telling me, oh, yeah, people hula hoop with fire, you know. And
there are LED hoops.
Not that I'm recommending that for any child that's listening to this right now.
There are LED hoops and there are fire hoops out there. And they're both pretty expensive. And you need to kind of know what you're doing if you're going to make an investment like that. But they look beautiful at night. It's a way to, I mean,
wow.
You know, all of my hula hoops, maybe I'll add like glow-in-the-dark tape at most, but... Yeah. I mean, at night, you're kind of limited in terms of what people will see, but it's mesmerizing. You can't look away.
Wow.
Do yours have, like, little balls on them so it makes that sound?
The noisemakers? No. Yeah. I mean, if you hula hooped as much as I did, you get sick of the sound. But I do make them with, you know, like rice or beans or, you know, little sand.
Yeah, yeah.
Something for the kids.
Yeah, cool.
Because the kids really, really get in tune with that sound. They can just really get into something with it.
It adds to the rhythm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask also, one of the things that really impressed me about you is that your card, Ouroboros.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I like immediately recognized it and I thought, what a cool name.
It's kind of, it's an ancient alchemist symbol. And I actually hadn't heard of it too much, but I was, you know, looking online for symbols of circles and it really struck me as the perfect one. It's a snake or a serpent eating its own tail. And so it represents, you know, the eternal return and just cycles anew. So as soon as something ends, it begins again. So I really felt that that exemplified everything that there was about hula hooping for me.
Fantastic. Well, can you think of anything else you'd like to tell us about this?
I don't know. It's in terms of, you know, fitness tips, it improves your rhythm, balance, and posture, hand-eye coordination, motor skills. It lengthens and strengthens your muscles and helps with lower back pain. And it's for all ages, you know, kids and, you know.
Seniors?
And seniors also. There was a woman who was 67 years old recently who won a hula hoop contest to raise money for some disease.
Mm-hmm.
But she hooped for over 5 hours and she beat a 25-year-old. So, I mean, it's any age, kids of all ages.
That's kind
of,
yes, I like that. And I like the fact that it kind of like levels, it's a level playing field, the hula hoop kind of levels the playing field.
Can you be like rhythmically challenged and still manage?
Before this, I could never dance. I was so self-conscious and I felt like I had no rhythm. And once I started to hula hoop, I found myself in other social settings, you know, being able to groove a little bit. And I was like, okay, that gave me the confidence. It really does help you, you know, come into your own body.
Wow. I want to take the class.
You should.
And on that note, I just wanted to ask Vanessa, what are your plans for the future for teaching hula hoop? And also, how do people contact you if they want to either get a lesson or if they want to buy a hula hoop? Oh, and also, what about the different sizes of hula hoops?
Well, it really depends on your height. You want it to come about to the middle or the top of your hip bone. And so, I mean, it's pretty tall, you know, from the floor.
Yeah.
Just because the bigger and heavier it is, the easier it is. And the lighter it is, the harder it is. It makes you work harder for it. So that's why a lot of adults say, I can't hula hoop anymore. It's because you're trying with kids ones. You're not going to do it. It's like a hand hoop. I don't know.
Okay. And do you know what's in the... I mean, do you have any classes that people can...
Oh, sorry. My email address is spinstress.hoops@gmail.com. Think of it as spin your stress away.
Okay.
I'm trying to get classes together. I'm starting something at the Boys and Girls Club here in Hudson with the kids on Tuesdays. And I'm trying to find another space to teach an adult class and possibly even seniors.
Okay, so if somebody knows of a space or is interested in maybe helping put a class together, they should contact you again.
Absolutely.
At
spinstress.hoops@gmail.com.
Okay. Vanessa, thank you so much for coming in. And, we're just going to go to some music, and we're going to go to our Democracy Now! Segment. We're going to review the Amy Goodman fundraiser and talk about that a little bit.
Do we have time for an environment segment?
Oh, the environment segment. We certainly do. We'll go right to that after a little music. We'll start off with some music.
Okay.
Okay.
Music's coming up soon,
music's
everybody.
Coming up, but our CD players fell asleep, so we're going to try this again. There we go.
Okay, here I am. So, let's see. One of the things we're going to be bringing you each week on Tell It Like It is a brief environmental sort of synopsis of what's going on in issues that are affecting us both locally and globally. And I just have a couple of things to mention today. Of course, one of the things that's on a lot of people's minds is the issue of fracking. And if you don't know about fracking, it's a new, well, it's not that new, actually, but it's a type of gas drilling technique that's very controversial, and we're facing possibly this technique being brought to New York State. It's a hot issue at the moment, and there's a lot of things going on in New York and Pennsylvania where they have already begun fracking. I'm just going to tell you a couple of headlines, which I got off of a really great site where you can also get most, if not all, of this information, is frackaction.com. That's FRACKACTION.com, frackaction.com. Let's see. Well, the one that caught my eye on that site is, the headline is, a riddle. When is a fracker not a fracker? The answer is when they're drilling straight down, not sideways. Fracking is a process of horizontal drilling in most cases, but out in Otsego County, they've already begun horizontal drilling. A lot of people are wondering how this is possible, as we're supposed to be in a moratorium on fracking in New York at this point. And the Watershed Post interviews Yancey Ray from the DEC about why a company called Gastum got approval to frack wells in Otsego County when the rest of the state is waiting on regulations to come through. So you can read more about this story at watershedpost.com. And let's see. In Colorado, a woman recently died who lived near gas fracking gas fields. Elizabeth Chris Mobaldi lived near gas drilling activities in Rifle, Colorado for 11 years. She and her husband moved away from that location, and she died this past Sunday due to complications in a third surgery on a rare tumor she developed in her pituitary gland. You can read more about this story at frackaction.com. I would definitely recommend that you check out the article on Frack Action with the headline, "Cuomo Will Not Rule Out Fracking," by Carol Tang. This was posted this past Sunday. It has a video with James Northrup, a 30-year veteran of the oil and gas industry, who has serious concerns about the consequences of fracking in New York. He says, "What effectively you're doing is you're exploding a bomb underneath the ground. It's a horizontal bomb. It's a pipe bomb. But the explosive power of it to break that rock up is equivalent to a really large bomb." So that, there's also a 30-minute video attached to this article of the interview with this man, James Northrup. And I just want to point out, like, you or I can be arrested for setting off fireworks, but these companies are blowing up our planet and getting permission to do it. So anyway, that's the fracking update today. And we'll be back with discussion of the recent Amy Goodman appearance in Catskill.
Okay, and you're still listening to Tell It Like It Is, and you are still listening to WGXE 90.7, Acre, New York. And we are going to be discussing Amy Goodman coming up very shortly.
Nothing like a little Gang of Four in the morning. So we're back, and we're here with Christina, Richard, Alan, and we also have Dharma and Azuke here in the studio. We were all at the recent Amy Goodman appearance in Catskill 2 weeks ago today, which was an excellent event fundraiser for WGXC. And so we just thought we would sort of recap and discuss that experience. I know it affected us all and inspired us all primarily. We're very fortunate to have had her come to our area and donate her time for that. So I don't know. Anybody want to jump in here? I just felt like hearing her speak in person was, and watching her speak in person was such a treat, because it was sort of like watching an artist while they're drawing or something, because you sort of got to watch her thinking process, which she did seemingly effortlessly, connecting issues and thoughts in a way that really tied things together and made a lot of sense, and you felt like you were hearing some core of truth coming through. I just feel like she gives us a lot of hope and also solutions to many of the complex problems we're facing today.
I have a little background on, for those folks out in the listening audience who have never heard Democracy Now! Before. Democracy Now! Actually started in 1996 as Democracy Now! The War and Peace Report. Amy Goodman actually was the news editor of Pacifica, WBAI, in New York City for 10 years. So she didn't come out of nowhere. She has a tremendous background. And I, from what I understand, this may or may not be true, but she just, like, never sleeps. And she lives and breathes that program. And it's not just a job for her. It's, I think I remember her being interviewed once and someone was asking, you know, don't you want to take a vacation or a day off? And she said, why? This is what I love to do. So, and I think it's that dedication that definitely comes through. And more than not just a job, but I also think that she also talks a lot about an experience that she had with her, with a journalist named Alan Nairn. I can't tell the details of this, but just that it was seemed to be one of those epiphanal or riveting moments when she was in East Timor and the Indonesian army was coming on a peaceful demonstration that she and Alan were both covering, and they were clearly getting ready to open up on the demonstrators with firearms. And Alan and Amy both put stepped out of the journalistic recording and documenting mode and actually tried to step between the Timorese demonstrators and the Indonesian army. And they kept saying, stop, stop, we're Americans, stop, what are you doing? These are peaceful protesters. And at the last second, they were both forced down to the ground. They were beaten. Alan Nairn's skull was fractured. And I can't remember how many of the protesters were shot, but just round after round of shots into the protesters. Wow. So her commitment, her level of commitment is a very deep one. I can't really say that of all reporters, and I wouldn't want all reporters to be in that situation, but I think it deepens her commitment to exposing the truth, because if that wasn't documented, if that wasn't told, that story, those kinds of actions could continue by the Indonesian government. So,
Riel, as you speak, I'm brought to remember that some years ago, reporters were heralded as the unsung heroes of our society. And back in the post-war era, up into the late 50s and 1960s. Which has kind of gone full circle turnaround in the past. So what we're seeing now is someone who comes to this community and speaking in such a manner I haven't heard spoken here in the 25 or 30 years that I've been living here. I was also pretty taken by one discussion that we had after she appeared here, when we kind of discussed it amongst ourselves, and Dharma brought to my awareness that aside from the emotional impact that she had on me, in that she spoke a lot of black history, mm-hmm. she spoke of Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony, and implicit in that discussion, I was remembering the involvement that Harriet Tubman had in that era. And then she kind of brought it forward with the Emmett Till story, which, again, emotionally, it brought up a lot of, feeling in me. But Dharma brought to my attention as well that there were a lot of skills that she used as a professional radio person and a reporter that maybe, Dharma, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Comes Dharma. We've got about 10 people in the studio right now.
Yeah, this is really cool.
Yeah, I just because we've been trying to learn how to make radio here over the last several months, it occurred to me that we had a consummate radio professional that we got to watch live in action, and how many of the tips and tricks I hope that we might be able to eventually incorporate into our own work. I think she's just a great storyteller, as Sam was saying. You get this whole these little narratives, but they're always coming back to a central value or a central message about nonviolence and moving news and journalism as a tool for making peace, which is, I think, an amazing thing. And we noticed that she just has a real mastery of using language. And there's some very specific techniques that she uses, like slowing down when she wants to make a point and drive a point home, maybe repeating that point, and using her voice and her pitch to do that. So, you know, when maybe at the end of the Emmett Till story, she's going to give you some little message about what that story is, you know, what she wants to drive home. She's going to slow her voice down and her pitch and repeat and repeat. And when she wants to work you up and get you into an emotional state, her voice starts to rise. And maybe her pace also goes up. So things like that, combined with the journalism skills of naming dates, very, very clearly, like, has her dates in mind, whether she's talking about history or some modern event that just happened last week. She's sort of able to anchor it and place it. And those little stylistic things, I think, give her, you know, sort of the left brain, right brain. You've got the storytelling and the emotions and the message. And then you also, you know, anchoring in this journalistic background. She's kind of got both things going on.
I'd like to ask Richard or Dharma, a lot of, just to go back to what Alan was talking about, rooting a lot of, or coming back to a lot of historical events that she would enrich a story with, and I don't know, you know, and still maintaining a central theme. As a journalist, it seems that she punctuates she's also an organizer. And I wanted to get Richard, who's also a journalist, his take on journalism and also having a point of view, because a lot of folks think about journalism as not having a point of view. And I also wanted both of you to address maybe the issue of kind of getting some history in there, because so many folks of this generation and younger generation in general have forgotten that history. And why is it important, or do you think it's beneficial to keep pulling up these historical events like Frederick Douglass or Emmett Till?
There's a lot to answer.
Sorry.
Dharma, why don't you take this?
Well, I just want to point out that one of the things that Democracy Now! Does is something that we're hoping to do with a show like Tell It Like It Is and on WGXC, which is that Democracy Now! Often takes the time to give you the 40-minute background of a particular movement or a particular person in a movement, to give that historical context, which is almost unique to have a daily news show that creates that kind of context. And, you know, that's what we're doing now. I mean, we have the opportunity to take in somebody that's, you know, extensively, like, wow, hula hoops, like, what's the power of organizing around, you know, that you can do with hula hoops? Well, surprise, like, there's, you know, this is a vehicle for change. Like, who knew? We have the time and the pace to do that here, and that's what we're hoping to do with WGXC.
And what about journalism having a point of view? I mean, because I think that's really a key issue. You know, we talk about the Fourth Estate is protecting the rights of the people, but having a viewpoint. People always say, you know, it's got to be, it should just be reporting the facts. And is that, can anyone just report the facts?
No, I think you always have a point of view, and why try to hide that?
Mm-hmm. I guess I just reflect back that I think that as an organizer, as a scholar, as a journalist, like anybody that wants to affect change, like, it starts with knowing what's going on, mm-hmm. what works and what doesn't, what's really happening. You sort of need to know what the facts are on the ground before you can come up with a strategy for change or even know what needs to be changed, right? So that's where I see the connection in that work.
One little snippet more is, as I was listening to last Tuesday to another public station, and I was listening to Robert Fisk, who is a reporter for the Middle East reporter for the London Independent, and he was talking about the idea of 50-50, giving both sides of an issue and giving 50% of the time to one side and 50% of the time to the other. Although he actually said that, would it be, and that's unbiased reporting, but he said if you gave 50% of the time of the time of reporting to someone, let's say like the Nazis, or to people who own slaves, or the people who are bombing Gaza, would that, he felt that actually you report on those who suffer injustice. That's a quote. What do you guys have to say about that? Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, I want to challenge the whole idea of just 50-50 anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, take the issue of fracking. You know, we need to know about, you know, we need to understand, we need environmentalist perspective. We need engineers' perspectives. We need all kinds of, I mean, it's such a complex issue to even figure out what's going on and what the real potential dangers are and how we can mitigate those and still have all the energy that we want. You know, you need lots and lots of kinds of information to feed that. There's not, and when you boil it down to a kind of he said, she said, I don't think you can get an answer that way.
Okay.
Right, and that's also goes to something that you and I talk about often, Christina, is how if, and one of the reasons that I'm really interested in that we have this sort of environment report each week is to keep the consciousness going about the environment, because if you think about it, every single issue that we're facing, every single economic issue, social issue, it really can be traced back to issues of the environment. And it's really complicated. Like Dharma's just saying just now, it's not just a he said, she said, it's not just a 50-50. It's like there's multiple layers going on. And that's what I think, you know, we're going to try as much as possible to do here.
Right. And I think what I was also getting at is also reporting the voices of folks who have been marginalized, the ones who are oppressed.
Right.
In other words, giving them the whatever that cliche is, and giving them the mic. And one other thing, I wanted you guys, if possible, could you also address the very beginning of Amy's speech, where she talked about how much money is being made right now in election ads, and it's just another aspect of how the corporations have completely taken over media.
Oh, she really summarizes that well in just a quick statement where she says, in the recent elections, as usual, the biggest winners are the broadcasters, and the biggest losers is democracy. And that's another reason why we're here with this great new community radio station. And Amy was constantly commending us for all getting together and making this happen. And that's another one of her main messages, besides working for peace, is working for independently controlled media so that we can all be getting more honest reports that are not beholden to corporations. So we have a few clips, but I think we're about to run out of time.
Well,
actually,
no, we've got a couple more minutes. So would you like to play a clip just for the sake of trying?
I'll just say one last thing in keeping with what you were saying before, that what we see today is that media is being used as an instrument of propaganda. And, you know, I can recall when I was a younger person that we had such contempt in our society for the use of propaganda by the communists, if you all can remember. Mm-hmm. But it seems as though instead of licking them, we've tended to join them and are now promoting, you know, corporate propaganda, which they've also found a way to blend into our society. I don't want to use the word social context, but into the mainstream of our society, so that we have people who are being fed propaganda on a daily basis by these right-wing media entities, to a point where they kind of have adopted a very passive passive acceptance of the of this message. And I think people like Amy Goodman stand out. I was watching Bill Maher last night, and he had Bill Moore on there last night. And you know, it's like people who believe in the other side, if you will, almost present themselves in an angry, hostile way. And so you very often lose the message unless you really are as full of rage as they are. But it's not coming across as truthful because the anger and the rage and is there.
Well, thanks, Alan. I don't think we're going to have time for actual clips, but of Amy. But I think Sam, you can tell us very quickly in the next couple of seconds what where you can hear the entire speech. In its
if you go to wgxc.org. There's a heading that says Amy Goodman event. You can click on that. There's also in the sidebar, I believe it says something about the Amy Goodman event, and you can click on that and hear the entire talk. And I highly recommend everyone to listen to that. We're going to be so lucky to get to have Democracy Now! Every day here in our area on WGXC at 8 a.m.
Monday through Friday,
Monday
right, Sam?
Monday through Friday.
So listen, very quick, thank you to everyone in the studio, Sam, Alan, Dharma, Richard, and Ellen's still hanging out, Azuke. And, of course, thank you very much to Al and Tom for helping us engineer this show. I actually engineered the show, so I don't want to blame those guys if it sounds a little strange. And next week, I believe next Thursday, we'll be here at 10 o'clock. For Thanksgiving, and I'm hoping that we will play in its entirety the Helen Caldicott speech that was last where she spoke at the Independent Media Center, and we will take it out right now. Thank you all.
All right.
Peace.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7, Acre, New York.